Wow, he meets us here again. For some of you, when you hear here again and you think through that piece that may be missing in your mind, you hear a story like Jennifer's and you may say, I'm here again, God. And he's saying, I'm here again. I'm right here with you. I'm Emmanuel, God with us. I haven't gone anywhere. It may feel like, does anybody understand? Does anybody know? But God sees you. God knows. There was a lady that she came to us through being an online church. That's how we first met her. And she'd never been in person or anything like that. And she's praying for healing over some social anxieties and some different types of anxieties that she has. And we were doing river baptism, and she said, you know, I wanted to be baptized. I hadn't been. And so I filled out the form, and next thing you know, I show up to a church that I engage with, but I've never actually met them. I'm like, that's a little bit of a risk at the river with a bunch of crazy people. But she did it. We start this series, fast forward a little bit, continuing to engage online. And after week one, talking about peace of mind, she's like, I want some victory. And that's what we've been praying, is victory and healing in our minds, because it is a battle and we want to win this battle. We know it's already been won, but we forget that we're victorious in Christ, right? And then she shows up after week one, said, I'm going to come in person. And she made it through a little bit. I don't know if it was one of your songs. I don't know. I know it wasn't the message. But she's like, I'm going to try again next week. She made it through the week on anxiety the entire time. She stopped at the info center and she said, hey, I just want to tell you this story. I've never met her. Now she's probably anxious because of me talking about her, but I would love to meet you. I'm not as weird as I am online. But I think that that is absolutely amazing, to hear Jennifer's victory, to hear this lady's victory, to say, I don't want to be defined by something. And yeah, we're here again. And if I didn't have this, and if I wasn't broken, and I'd never sinned, if they wouldn't have done those things, like I'd be different. Here's the thing. In Christ, you can. Through you, he will. Because of Jesus, we have. This isn't we don't. This isn't we can't. We can have peace in our mind. And even today, through studying in scripture and hearing Jennifer's story and hearing different stories throughout the week in our community group about the victories that God has brought in our life, it's healing, it's life, and it's hope. Let's pray towards that this morning. God, whether we are in person or we are online, we call out upon your name. We ask for your filling in our hearts, in our minds. God, we want the peace that only you can bring. It's the peace that passes understanding. And this world is confusing, and we don't understand it all. But what we can know is the simplicity of your love for us. You see us, you know us, and you still chase after us, forgive us, call us, and you love us. And we claim that promise today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated as you keep clapping. I didn't want to interrupt that. It's awesome to hear and see the Holy Spirit working in hearts. When I was thinking about sharing today about depression and going, okay, we talked about insecurity, we talked about anxiety, we've talked about a battle in our mind, and then talking about depression. It's heavy. You could say, is this the darkest? Is this the hardest? Is this the lowest? Is this the most difficult? And I would just tell you, I believe that there's victory that we're going to hear today through God's word. I want you to hear, I'm not talking about depression from a standpoint of, hey, I'm speaking to the people who may struggle. I'm sharing about depression because it's something that I have struggled with. It is something that I do struggle with. I know that the Lord knows. I know that I have people around me that love me. I know the things that God's word says, but I still battle. I feel shame for battling. I feel things like you should be better than this. You should have, like, you just sang that song. Look at everything that God has done. I wanted to be able to talk about this, but, and I thought to myself, like, should I bring my medicine? Should I bring my little pill bottle and set it on the table here so everybody can see that? And I have, you know, I've got my 10 milligrams, and then I thought, well, what if somebody takes 20 or 30? And then what if somebody's like, I have three pill bottles? And then we just go crazy in our minds, and we think, yeah, another pastor trying to relate. Another person that's not what I have. And then I started thinking, it has nothing to do with me. Do I want to, I want people to know my journey and my story. Do I want people to know that battling grief, and specifically 3 years ago in my life, when I went in for a checkup because I was in a really difficult place, I said some of the same words that we're going to read today, words of Elijah. I said things to myself that I didn't say to other people, and when I said them to other people, they told me what they're supposed to tell me. They loved me the way that they're supposed to love me. I have a wife that absolutely loves me. I have a wife that is prays for me. I have a wife that doesn't just tolerate me or say, oh, you know, Keith, you know, you've always been like that. Why do you let that get to you? Like someone who's been in the trench with me for 24 years married, 26 together, but long before sought out by God to compliment me in a way. Not to complete me, because that's Christ, but to compliment and to come together. Like, God has given me an incredible gift. And then I feel shame because I don't heed at times the truth that she shares with me. I feel shame because as a pastor, I preach about certain things. And I battled. I feel ridiculous that we can have an incredible Sunday and there could be amazing services. But yet, I remember that one thing that I said at the 10 o'clock that I shouldn't have said. And it's dumb. And you guys are like, that was stupid. Don't ever say it again. But I kind of like this church because I'm stupid too. And so I say it again at the 11:30 and then I can't get past it. And I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. How are they ever going to get a 40-second clip to put on Instagram so I don't sound like an idiot? Can you just play some music? Is there something else? Or can I do a retake and act like there's an audience here and sound smart and read someone else's book or quote, you know? All of those thoughts and never feeling good enough. I deal with depression. I have lulls at times, but I have seen victory. So I want you to hear some of that, but more than anything, it is not about me. It is about the Lord, because he sees you, he knows you, he loves you. He is my victory. He is my hope. The name of Jesus has brought healing over me. The name of Jesus prayed over me. The words of Christ, the words of the Lord have brought newness to my heart and to my mind. See, we live in a difficult place and we live in a difficult season and time in this world. Depression is real. Anxieties are real. Things are going on. I shared a couple of weeks last week about, hey, it was 19 days ago that our world hit 8 billion people, and that makes some of us go, who am I even to the Lord? Who am I in this world? Why do I exist? It's getting worse. Some of you have been there in a depressed or are in a place of depression. Some of you will be there. Depression is not one size fits all. It's not one age. It's not, you're too young to be depressed or you're too old to be. Like, it does not matter. Depression can be defined as a mood disorder characterized as anhedonia, this inability to feel pleasure, because it's more than just sadness. Sadness doesn't describe it. It's not just a discouragement. It's not just a lack of motivation. There's a disorder. And I mean, when you look around and look even in our own state, look at what's taken place in the last couple of weeks at the University of Idaho. Look at what's, I mean, in a smaller state like this, we might actually know individuals that were part of that horrible, horrible tragedy, that heinous act of evil. And we have more questions now than we had before, but we know we're missing and we're grieving and we're mourning and we've lost. But you might be one relationship away that you're connected to the hurt and it sets in on you. And then there's this looming recession. Possibly could happen, what could take place, the things that overwhelm us. And it's more than anxiety because it feels like we've been here before. And so what may start with anxiety goes quickly to depression at times because it just like, we feel like I know where this is going and our brains are trained through repetitive behaviors where our minds end up taking us. Even research in the last few months, a poll done by the Psychological Association here in America says 80% of people in our nation are stressed due to inflation, 87%. 70% of parents, meaning probably most of you in this room, are under extreme stress for your children's social and emotional development. You worry about relationships. You worry about what they're being taught. You worry about who's influencing them. You worry about platforms that they're on. You're worried about friendship. Like, there are more things to be concerned about. 1 in 5 college students have contemplated suicide. 1 in 5. The CDC says 40% of teens this year alone have felt persistently and overwhelmingly sad and hopeless. Consistent sadness and hopelessness, 40%. So we're not gonna be a church that says, hey, pray that away. Pray those, that's outside the church. That's not in the church, we have the joy of the Lord. Like, come on. Like, we sing the songs, we light the tree. Like, if you would really engage, like, you would get over that stuff. If you'd really, you know, and I know, like me, as a person who battles with it, like I literally know that its mercies are new every morning. I know that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I have asked for healing and prayer. I have seen healing and prayer. I have claimed and felt and experienced victories. So I simply want to go to the place of victory. I want to talk specifically about what does God's word say? What hope can we find in God's word? How can we find hope in the midst of depression? See, in the New King James Version, in Proverbs 12, verse 25, I picked this because the words in different translations, a little bit different, but this is, it nails it. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes him glad. There may be anxiety that then progresses to a depression, but guess what? A good word makes him glad. The good word of God. What did Jesus say about that? What does his name give us power and victory over? A good word can be a good book. I've been talking about these different books, these things that I've been studying. I had a photo shoot with these books. You may say, Pastor, did you read all those? I listened to two of them and I read one of them, okay? That's what I will tell you. I am a decent reader, but I can listen on Audible at the best of them. But I bought them because I'm like, I need to go back through them. I need to underline them. And someone stinking stole my anxious for nothing. It was probably Doug at Stonehill Church. But anyways, Hope in the Dark, Journey of Habakkuk, Journey of Discouragement, Anxious for Nothing. I talked last week about calming ourselves before the circumstance because the Lord can bring that healing. Attacking Anxiety. I just actually started that one. Incredible pastor who deeply has dealt with anxiety. Panic attacks, 5 ways to help someone going through one, 5 things you can do if going through one, like very practical, legitimate people that love the Lord, love God, writing about it, not trying to make money on something, trying to see healing take place in the lives of people. And there's lots of other resources. Those are just a few, and they have bigger fonts, so I picked them, okay? That's why I like them. And they tell stories and no, not a lot of pictures, but anyways. A good word. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet that in 1 Kings 18, we'll be in 19 today, but he was in 18, like the Lord used him. It was him against 850 false prophets to bring fire from the sky on, from the heavens, from their God. They were worshiping false gods, Elijah, the one true God, and Elijah won. They were dying. They were cutting themselves. They were like calling out. They were doing all these things. And Elijah's putting water on all of the wood. And he is like, hey, my God will still light this on fire and do this. And an amazing victory. 850-1. God delivers. And one chapter later, he wants to be dead. And that has happened to you because you had the best information given to you. You had the best news that has happened. And even on the heels of an amazing victory of something that you don't think you'll ever come down from that feeling. And now you have hope because you that connection was made. That conversation with the counselor took place. You read that verse. You heard that song. God did something incredible. You got a promotion. Like whatever the thing is. And the next day you're like, they only picked me because. It was only this. It's going to go bad again, I guarantee. Like very much so, each one of us feel that. Because the very next day, very next chapter, Elijah's threatened by an evil queen. And he is in the worst of places. He's a real person with real struggles. And he struggled with anxiety and depression. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4. Ahab told Jezebel that all that Elijah had done, which is the evil queen, Jezebel, and now how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, so may the gods do to me and more so also if I do not make your life as a life of one of them by this time tomorrow. See, then he was afraid. He arose, he ran for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he asked that he might not die, saying, it is enough, O now, now, O Lord, take away my life. A real person dealing with struggles. He's not thinking rationally. He's not thinking logically. He removes himself from those who could strengthen him. He isolates away, gets away from human contact. He travels 100 miles. This is 4 marathons. That's 5 more than I've ever ran in my life. But he gets away 100 miles away. He's worn himself out. He's physically, he's emotionally exhausted. I've said this a couple of times. I don't know what services. It just kind of came out of my mouth. The problem isn't being in the condition if it's insecurity. It's being in the condition of insecurity alone. The problem is not being in the condition of anxiety. It's being in the condition of anxiety alone. The problem is not being in the condition of depression. It's being in the condition of depression alone. Because if you're insecure and you're having a conversation, some of the things you would say, if you're with someone, they would say, that is not true. Or it wouldn't even come out of your mouth. But let's pretend it did. They would bring affirmations around you and secure you in truth. If it was anxiety, they would say, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me share scripture with you. Let me pray with you. Let's pray together through prayer and supplication. Let a request be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. If it's depression, the same exact thing. Community, here's what God says. Here's the truth. Here's why your life matters. Look at what God just did in chapter 18. All those things would happen, but we find ourselves alone. We've made a decision as a church, and this was not a quick one. This was a foundational decision. From day one, we were going to be real stinking people. It didn't even mean we were going to sin and just go, that's just how it is. That's just how we are. No, it meant as we have struggles in this life, if we do sin, we do repent. If we have fallen, we do share that we have. If we've been through difficult things, like literally hearing Rick read about Jennifer's journey and hearing the that is one of a dozens. But do you realize what she just told thousands of people? Do you realize what she didn't tell anyone for a long time? And then what she tells thousands of people. That was an answer to prayer. That's what we have been seeing happen in our church body, and we're witnessing happening at a higher level now because we are waging war on it. We are calling it out. We're bringing light to the darkness of hurt, and now we're hearing it. And I think, well, I hope, you guys are okay with not having a perfect pastor. I hope you're okay with that. Okay, that was not... Honestly, the dramatic pause was because I honestly didn't know what I was going to say after that because it's not my notes. So I was like, yeah, I hope you're not okay with perfect pastor. What do I say next? Well, they'll cheer if I just don't say anything. Hey! And then other people are like, you're not perfect? Yeah, I knew I didn't like this place, right? But having that, I literally, when we started as a church, when I went into ministry, I was told, don't get close to too many people in your church because they will hurt you. That sounds horrible to say, but if you've been hurt by people in the church and you're like, I have, and I go to one, try being a pastor at one. Try being, that's all of your relationships. Try being a regular person somewhere. Trying having a kids that are kids that are real people. Try wanting to lose your mind at a Christmas tree lighting, but you're the one that's supposed to do the countdown. That's a lot of pressure. Not perfect. But from day one, I've had community. From day one, I had a community group. From day one, having people love me, know me, trust me, correct me, protect me, pray for me, minister to us when we lost our family. We lost our son specifically in our family, is what I was trying to say. So just love us in that. It's community. It's what's brought peace to our mind. I have literally said, and some of you have said these things, just like Elijah. He asked that he might die. He says, it is enough now. Oh Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's. I haven't broken the cycle of addiction. Why am I alive? I'm doing more harm than I am good. It's too late to fix things now. I've one too many times failed. My family's never going to change. My marriage is never going to get better. I don't know anyone who cares about me. I'll never be happy. And the reality is, your emotions are real, but your emotions are not always right. Emotions are real, but they're not always right. Thoughts can come into our mind. There may be certain things that are legitimately real, and you feel a certain way because it legitimately happened. But I think an important part we need to know is, yes, those emotions are real, but God is also faithful. And we need to be careful to not make a permanent decision based on a temporary emotion. And you may say, I've felt this emotion my whole life. I've had these feelings my whole life. I've had these thoughts this whole life. I've been failing my whole life. But I do want you to hear this. Do not make a permanent decision based on a temporary emotion. I'm saying this as someone who has had thoughts. I'm saying this as someone who has dealt with lots of temporary emotions. And they are not just perennial, they're daily, they're weekly. Thoughts of, why am I here? I'm sharing this as a dad who lost a son to suicide. And I will say this for the third time. Do not make a permanent decision based off of a temporary emotion. The feelings you have are valid. They are real. But sometimes they are not right. And all the time, they are temporary. God is eternal. God is faithful. And we can trust him to help us in our thinking. Sometimes we have wrong thinking. Sometimes we have hurt thinking. And sometimes we forget a victory that might await us. That's why 2 Corinthians 10 has been a gift to me, specifically verse number 5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Take every thought captive. Take the thought captive. We want it in Jesus' name. We want to obey Christ. We want victory over it. We take the thought captive. We do so by preaching to ourselves. We do so by praising. We do so by praying and taking the thought captive. It means I hear it again. That is the same voice. It might be a different statement. It might sound a little bit different. It might come through a failure. It might come through something. But in your mind, you're just going to take the thought captive. Because I can, I will have joy in Christ. I can be healed. I can be in relationships. I can be engaged in this way. I can be set free. In Christ, I can have freedom. And in Christ, I can have joy again. The second thing, take a step to get healthy. Take the thought captive. Take a step to get healthy. This one might cost you money. This might cost money because it's a counselor. This might cost money because it might be medication. This might cost money because it's a trainer. And when I talk about medication, just be careful. Do I understand Big Pharma? Do I understand like all of that? Yeah, I get some of it. If you want to talk about it, Scott Harrop will be in the lobby following service. He would love to talk. He wants your email. He wants you to add him to email lists. He wants you to hear all about it, okay? Anyways, I am so getting him back for lots of things right now. Yeah, I'm getting him back. But anyways, is there a legitimate crisis? Is there a legitimate is there stuff going on and people getting medicated for things? Yes, but I will tell you this. There is a legitimate chemical imbalance that some people do have. And sometimes by going to a doctor, sometimes by getting good evaluation and having other godly counsel around you that can walk you through. Here's what you know. You just don't want to feel like that anymore. You just want to be better and you want to get some victory. So sometimes it means that we might need to take a step to get healthy physically and mentally. Sometimes it's simply getting outside. It might be hiring a trainer. They cost money. In the lobby today, we have Christian trainers that will be out there. I'm kidding. We're not doing that. We are not doing that. But guess what? There are some of them. They can help you. There's great counsel that some of you are like, whoa, this just turned into like a multi-level marketing thing. Okay. It's all good. There's good things out there. People can help you. People can bless you. People can encourage you. And sometimes it might cost resources in order to build disciplines and get our mind and our bodies physically and mentally aligned. Let's do some of those things. This next one, I will not spend a lot of time here. It's simply take a nap. That's exactly what takes place. Take a step to get healthy, take a nap. Elijah, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, all he did was sleep. He was sleeping. Angel of the Lord brought him a meal. He went back to sleep. He took two naps. I don't want to go off on it, but I love naps. I could do a podcast on naps. When you take a nap, I just think of it right now. I lay in my bed and then I pull a blanket up. Do you put a blanket up when you nap every time? Yes, I do. I don't lay on the couch and go, I'm going to sleep here randomly and then get mad at my children when they wake me up or the dog barks because it happens. No, you go up in your bedroom. You get that blanket. You pull it over. Get some white noise on your phone. Get a fan going. Close the blinds. You don't need no light creeping in because then you blame it on the light and then you get mad. Don't leave your Christmas lights on. It shines through your window. It's stupid. You're better than that. Don't put your phone right next to you. Dim the light. Get the white noise on. Put your AirPods in and just go and noise cancel everybody in the world except for the Holy Spirit. And on top of that, you might get some of those earplugs. You know, the ones that I got for like 10 bucks from Lowe's for 7,000 of them? Or just steal one out of those little trays on your way out of Rock Harbor. But the people that don't think the music's too loud, just say, it's for a nap, it's for Jesus, this is a spiritual discipline. Other than that, I have nothing to say about naps. Dude, that was the word of the Lord. But I also have a quote, because naps sound childish, but say this to yourself, naps, that sounds so childish. I prefer to call them horizontal life pauses. Okay? Then you won't feel like a little kid, but you will need a blanket. Honestly, it is proven blankets are better for napping. Anyways, verse number 11, I'm going to go over today, and it's good. It is good for God and everyone. Verse 11, and he said, go out. This is amazing because this is where we take in the power and the presence of God. Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after an earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in a fire. And after the fire, a sound of a low whisper. It wasn't an earthquake. It wasn't the fire. It wasn't the wind. It was a whisper. Because you know what a whisper does? A whisper, it's almost like that you can feel the breath of someone on you. And that sounds a little bit weird, but it's like they're so close, they're talking to you like this. Think about it. When you whisper to someone, rarely are you like, hey, I want to tell you something. If you're doing this, you're kind of weird, and you might be a first grade teacher, and that's good, okay? But generally, it's like, hey, I want to tell you something. When you whisper to your children, you put your arm around them, you look them in the eye, and you tell them something. A whisper is drawing close, and the Lord draws us close. This is the presence. This is the power of God. This is Him healing us to hear His whisper. And you've heard that whisper. And if you haven't, are you getting healthy? Are you getting outside? Are you outside the noise? Or are you simply looking for an earthquake and a voice from the Lord? Are you looking for a wind and something that's just going to blow through and it's going to be really obvious? Are you going to listen and wait on the whisper? To wait on the whisper. There's nothing like it. There's truly nothing like it. Taking in the power and the presence of God. See, neuroplasticity is our brain's ability to change, to modify, to adapt. That's why I've been telling you the brain's an organ that's always developing. But neurotheology is another thing. This is where this neuroscience, which studies the relationship between one's brain and one's belief and relationship with God, this is what happens to the human brain when we pray. The human brain actually changes. Prayer can chemically change your brain. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, author of Switch On Your Brain, says this: it's been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can rewire the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. Prayer can actually change our minds, physically change our minds. 12 minutes a day. Time to hear the whisper. Time to pray and think on the things of God. To be in the Word, say, you know what? I want the good Word. Anxiety, depression, it can overwhelm a man's heart, but the good Word of God can bring the joy and the mercies of God. I want that. I want to be healed. You know, prayer is pondering. It's pondering. You're praying, you're thinking, you're pondering, you're thinking upon things. And we can pick what we ponder. So when a lull of depression comes in, what if we attack it with powerful prayer? What if a loop of anxiety that comes into our mind, we attack it with aggressive gratefulness? Aggressive. What if when we find ourselves isolating, we go, you know what? This is weird, this feels whatever, but I'm gonna mark that box to get a community group. I'm feeling this, I'm going to call someone, I'm gonna ask someone to get together. I'm not gonna say they never call me, nobody asks me, what do I do? I'm just gonna do it, I'm gonna fight through it because I am on the attack. I am waging war. Because the last thing, take courage and speak it to heal it. Take courage, speak it to heal it. Notice I said take. I purposely chose the word take. Take a nap. Take in the presence of God. Take courage and speak it to heal it. Because it's a battle. It's a war. Listen to what Lamentations 3 tells us. Lamentations 3, verse 21, but I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Say it. I have hope. Say the things you're mad about. I am angry because this was done to me. I have anger in me because I was treated this way. Say it. Speak it. Healing? Say it out loud. I have hope. Why do I have hope? Because the steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning, for great is His faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, my soul says. Therefore, I will hope in Him. That steadfast love of the Lord, it comes from a word, hesed. The word hesed, our English language, we can't even put a sentence together that describes the steadfast love of the Lord. That's the best we can put up with, because you need the character of God to explain the love of God. It takes a book to explain one simple Hebrew word. And then Ramaha, which is the mercies of the Lord, the newness. The mercies is the gracious, unmeasurable love of the Lord. And that word comes from the root of womb, a mother's womb. A mother's womb is life. A mother's womb is nurturing. A mother's womb provides. That's the mercies of the Lord. You want to be healed. You want to see victory. You want to attack. Remember what the Lord wants for you. He has his hased, his steadfast love for you. He loves you. He is gracious to you. And his mercies, oh, they don't cease. They don't end. They flow like a mother's womb that brings life. And that's what we're looking for. Peace of mind is life, knowing you are loved. You were created. Yes, you may have anxiety. You may have depression. You may have insecurities, but you have been given victory. And it's time to take. It's time to wage war. It's time to move forward. Peace of mind comes when we recognize we are in a battle because we are battling for peace. And it doesn't mean to sit back. We have been given the sword of the Spirit. We have been given the shield of faith, and we are to go on attack. See, if you're in person, we're ending the service differently. If you're online, we have a special moment specifically for you. You're engaging with us online. We absolutely love that you are here. And our hosts that spoke to you earlier, they want to say a few things to you. We want to have conversations with you. We want to engage with you. If you had the courage to check out Rock Harbor this way, or this is the way that you engage, we want to have the boldness to say, hey, we're here for you. We'd love a conversation with you. So we will send you to the online hosts. For you guys in the room, you're in trouble. No, would you stand with me if you happen to be in the room? If you're in the room, we get this opportunity to read Lamentations 3. And some of you are like, you know, Keith gets to yell. I'd have always wanted to yell in church. Guess what? You get to. And we're going to read this verse together. You hear me read it. You hear me tell you about victories. You hear me preach about it. You hear me tell books about it. But I want you with your mouth to speak it. Because in speaking it, healing takes place. In you holding your hands open and you reaching towards a screen or reaching up to God or you reading, it speaks it. And we get to speak it. And some of you are like, you know what? I have an eighth grade reading level and I was raised in Kansas. Hey, me too. I am so glad you're here. Because we're going to fumble through this, but we're going to be loud. And if you be loud, it sounds like you planned it. And worship team, you're up here. And you're like holding the bass, you're standing there and you're like, I gotta play a song. And dude, you're in. If you don't engage in this, you're not allowed something because we need you and we appreciate you. But Ralph, I'm talking about you, drummer. You have a name. Our drummer has a name. This is Ralph. But he's gonna engage in this too. All four services. Okay, here we go. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. You said it. Now I want to hear it louder. I want to hear it. Hands up, arms open. God, I'm calling out on you. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Let's celebrate that. Let's sing together. As we sing this song, as God moves, as we speak the name of Jesus over things, let's claim victory. Let's celebrate past ones, and let's call out on future and present victories in our minds and our hearts. Lord Jesus, we speak your name over our anxieties. We speak it over our brokenness, over our sin. It's the only thing that can forgive us. God, we speak it over our depression. We speak it over our failures, our confusion. We speak it over traumas. God, we speak it over this broken world that you came for. God, we praise you for you bring life. And today is that day, God, the day that life is given for some, beginning a relationship with you. Maybe better understanding that chesed love, the steadfast love that never ceases, it never comes to an end. God, we celebrate that today we found victory. There is a battle. You have won it, and we have claimed it today. It's your name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen.